there exists one parameter non isomorphic hyperfinite family of subfactors, all having the same standard invariant or planar algebra using these subfactors. So as you can see, this is a rich class of subfactors. Our main goal was to understand different properties of subfactors in terms of planar algebra language. So this this class acts as an ideal testing ground. So what we will do here is to find the planar algebra of this Pichavel type subfactor. Okay, so this is our goal. So I'll describe that. But we will be working with a specific case here, and we will consider H and K, the group H and K inside automorphisms of P, will generate a group G, and it will intersect trivially with the inner automorphism. In other words, the group generated by H and K in automorphism of P acts outwardly on P, which is not always the case. So we will describe the planar algebra with this restriction, and the abstract planar algebra. The abstract planar algebra that doesn't have any subfactors in it, so it will be totally algebraic, and that has a surprising connection with IRF modules in appearing in statistical mechanics. So the IRF stands for interaction around a phase. Okay, I'll come to that later. So our goal is to find the planar algebra of this subfactor with this restriction. Okay, so before that, let me quickly go through the main ingredients of what a planar algebra is, of the definition of a planar algebra, which Emily already showed you, but I'll just go through the main parts. Okay, so what is a planar algebra? P, it's a bunch of vector spaces Pn, n greater than or equal to 0, and on these vector spaces, the tangles act, the actions of tangles on P, that is the second ingredient. So for each tangle T, there is a map, multilinear map, Zt, going from the vector spaces Pn1, Pn2, Pnk to Pn0. Okay, and this n1, n2, nk corresponds to the colors of the internal disk. So here is an example of a tangle T, okay, and it has two internal disks, D1 and D2. D0 is the external disk. It has every disk will have internal even number of points, okay, and the color of each disk is half the number of points, and that denotes where the inputs will come from. Okay, so for example, D1 will have input from P3Y because it has 6 points in the boundary, so color is 3, half the number of points in the boundary, and D2 will have input from P2, and Zt will give an output on D0, and that will lie, and that will live on in P4. And not just that, the action of tangles, so that the action of tangles preserves composition. What do you mean by that? So you can compose two tangles, one inside the other. So action of composition of two tangles is basically composition of actions of two tangles. Okay? So this is what planar algebra is. So next slide, I'll show you a flowchart of how we will come to the planar algebra. So we'll start with the Bishop type subfactor, and then from that subfactor we'll construct a basic construction, tower of basic construction, and we will take a specific model which I'll describe, and from that model we'll compute the relative commutants, okay, and or the standard invariants, and there's a theorem of Jones which takes a standard invariant of subfactor to a planar algebra, and in the reverse direction, it was done by Popper, like it was proved by Popper's lambda lattice, that any good planar algebra gives rise to a subfactor whose standard invariant is described by the planar algebra. And now there is a new theorem by Jones, Alice Guionet, and Dmitry Shevchenko of doing that. Okay. Anyways, that theorem from standard invariant to planar algebras goes like this. The Pn, the vector space Pn, is basically n prime intersection mn minus 1, and the actions of tangles on these relative commutants, and actions preserving composition. Okay. So what we have to do is, we have to find these relative commutants for our Bishop-Hadrup subfactors, and we have to try to find a nice basis for this relative commutant, so that, I mean, we can forget about the 2-1 factor, we just we live in the group elements, okay, and then guess basically what the tangles are. And the most difficult part is whether the tangles, the actions of the tangles, preserves composition. Okay. So let us start with the Bishop's subfactor here, n subset of n, p super h inside p cross k, and the first basic construction goes like this. So see, this p cross k changes to p cross h, and you tensor with the matrix algebra whose rows and columns are indexed by k. Okay, this is the first basic construction. And the second basic construction goes like this, p cross h changes to p cross k, and this matrix algebra gets inflated by from k to k cross h. The index becomes k to k cross h. Okay, and the next step, the third basic construction, p cross k again becomes p cross h, and alternately the indexing set k cross h goes to k cross h cross k. So if you take this convenient notation, Fn equals k cross h cross k cross delta, so n factors, and ln is k when n is even, h when n is odd, then the nth basic construction Mn can be written as M, the indexing set Fn, whose rows and columns are indexed by Fn, okay, tensor p cross ln, okay. Let us check for n equals 1, say M1 is Mk tensor p cross h, so Fn is n equals 1, means Fn equals k, and ln n is odd, n equals 1, so L1 is h, so Mk tensor p cross h. Okay. So now, the non-trivial part is, how does Mn sit inside Mn plus 1? Okay. So Mn, by definition, is Msn tensor p cross Ln, Mn plus 1 is Msn plus 1 tensor p cross Ln plus 1, and how does it sit? You see that Sn plus 1 is nothing but Sn cross Ln. So Msn plus 1 can be viewed as Msn tensor Mln. Okay, now the inclusion goes like this, elements of MSN, the inclusion keeps it as it is, but P cross LN, there will be some non-triviality. So E, S1 vector, S2 vector, S1 vector, S2 vector belongs to SN, so on these things, it's, the inclusion just keeps its identity, okay, so these remains as it is, but elements of P cross LN, these are generated by elements of P and elements of LN, okay, let's take an element of P, X, okay, and that goes to summation L belongs to Ln, ELL, tensor L inverse X. So you can think of, like, it sits inside this matrix algebra, diagonally, but in the Lth diagonal, it doesn't just sit as X, it sits as a twisted X, like, with the action of L, L inverse on X, okay. And the next one is, what does elements of L go to, okay. So E, S1 vector, S2 vector, tensor L, on this, its identity, and L goes, L sits inside MLN as lambda L, and lambda L is the left regular multiplication by L on this tensor 1, 1 of P cross LN plus 1. Okay, so this is our model of the tower of basic construction. From this tower, we will try to find the relative commutants. Okay, so we want to find n prime intersection mn, and n prime intersection mn sits inside mn, right? And mn is msn tensor p cross ln. Okay. So to find the relative commutant, we use this key lemma, this Galois automorphism of p super h inside p. Galois automorphism means the automorphism of p which fixes p super h pointwise. These Galois automorphisms are exactly automorphism given by H. So we use this key lemma to find this finite dimensional C-square algebra as a span of these elements. Okay, so I'll describe these elements, what these are. So this is ES1 vector, S2 vector, that lives in MSN. So S1 vector, S2 vector belongs to SN. Tensor L, so there are no elements of P, just elements of LN survives in the relative commutant. Okay, so such that the following condition holds. So mu is multiplication map. So mu S1 vector, so you multiply the S1 and the elements of S, the group elements of S1 vector, one after the other in the order, okay, and then you multiply L, and then you multiply S2 vector in the inverse, with the reverse direction, taking its inverse, okay, and that should belong to H. Okay. Let us call that element H inverse. Then what do you have? So if you call this H inverse, then take this H inverse this side, so it becomes H. So mu S1 vector L, mu S2 vector inverse H should be identity. So this corresponds to, this ES1 vector S2 vector tensor L corresponds to this element S1 vector L, S2 vector tilde, and tilde, what does tilde do? It reverses the order and puts inverse to each element. So it's just the flip of S2 vector, comma H. So it's a it's a sequence of group elements with length 2n plus 1. N for this, 1 for this, n for this, 1 for this, so 2n plus 1. So basically the nth relative commutant is generated by these elements, okay, elements corresponding to this, okay, where the product of these elements is identity. So let us call our planar algebra as IRF, planar, PIRF, P super IRF. So P super IRF N should be the vector space with the following basis. So you take sequences of group elements, okay, with k cross k h and so on, I mean alternately with 2n length, so that when you multiply it becomes identity. Okay, so these are the vector spaces. So in the flowchart we have to find, okay, where is it? Okay, so so in the planar algebra, so we have to find the vector spaces first. So we have found the vector space as this one, okay, and now comes the action of tangles. So how do the tangles act on this? So here we did a lot of guessing. Basically we worked with the relative commutants and tried to see like how the tangles act on the relative commutants using Jones's theorem, and then we tried to guess what should it be abstractly. So let us go to the example which we took there. So suppose this tangle is T, then ZT will go from PIRF3 corresponding to D1, PIRF2 corresponding to D2, and should land in PIRF4, okay, because there are 8 points, so half the number of 8 points is 4. So we want to know what is ZT, S1 vector, S2 vector, where S1 vector belongs to PIRF3, so it's a 6th tuple, and S2 vector belongs to PIRF2, which is a 4th tuple, and what should it be? So it's enough to find what the coefficient of S0 vector inside this, where S0 vector is any typical group, any typical basis element of PIRF4, okay, which is a 8 tuple, okay. So we have to define this number, right? So for that we will go a little bit to in different direction first. We will try to get different properties of tangles, so for which by which the action will be defined. We need to know an opening of a tangle T, on a tangle T, and a face of T. So what is an opening? Opening is basically subset of boundary of disk lying between two marked points. Okay, so let's go to this example. So in this tangle, so what are the openings? It's a subset of boundaries of these disks. Okay, so between 1 and 2, this part is an opening. Between 1 and 4, this is an opening. Okay, so openings are basically subsets of disk and between two consecutive mark points. And what is a face? Face is basically a connected component of D0, the external disk, and then you scoop out the strings and the internal disk. So let's go to the example. So you have this external disk, then you scoop out the internal disk and all the strings. What you are left with is shaded regions or unshaded regions. A typical connected shaded region will be, or an unshaded region will be, a face. Okay. So now I'll give you a little bit more of these faces and openings. So you see that this face has only in the boundary of this face is connected, and there is no opening because there is no disk surrounding this face. Okay, for example, this face has one opening, this one, and the boundary of this face is connected. This one has six, this one has three openings, this one, and this one, okay, and the boundary again is connected, but this face, you see, this face has disconnected boundary. One is this one, and the other comes from the string, the other comes from this, okay, boundary of this. So the external boundary is unique, okay, and it has four openings, this one, this one, this one, this, and there is no opening for the loop, and there are two more openings for this. Okay, so this face is a face which has three connected components. One is the external one, the other is for the loop, the last one is for this one, and total six openings. Okay, so we need to know one more definition, and then we will go to the action of the tangles on the on the vector spaces. So state of a tangle on T, of a state on a tangle T. So what is state? State basically assigns group elements to openings. Okay. So f is a state. It's a function from openings to group elements. In such a way, if the opening is shaded, then the element assigned comes from K, and if it is unshaded, the element comes from H. Okay. So here is an example. So the example which we took already. So we assigned group elements, the state assigned group elements to each of the openings, and this opening is shaded, that's why, and the group element which comes from K, this is unshaded, it comes from H, this comes from H, this comes from K, and so on. Okay, not just that, this is the first axiom. The second one is, there should be triviality on the external boundary of a face or interaction round a face holds. So what does it mean? So let us take this face. So triviality in this face means you multiply clockwise H6 and then H5, that should be identity. But one has to be careful, we have this clockwise orientation in everything on the boundary of the disk also. Okay. So when you multiply H6 clockwise, that is fine, but when you multiply H5, then it going in the reverse direction, so you multiply H5 inverse, so it's H6, H5 inverse, that should be trivial, that should be identity, you see, H6, H5 inverse should be identity, right? For example, this shaded region, so if you go clockwise, K9, K6, K5 inverse it should be, because you're going anti-clockwise on the disk, K2 inverse, K1 inverse, that should be identity, so K9, K6, K5 inverse, K2 inverse, K1 inverse, should be identity. This is interaction around a face or triviality around a face. And the third axiom of a state is triviality on the internal disk holes. Okay, so that is easy. So triviality on this disk means K1, H1, K2, H2, K3, H3 should be identity, and this internal disk K4, H4, K5, H5 should be identity. So now in this in the definition of state, as you can see that we demand triviality on the external boundary of a face, okay, and not the internal boundary. So I mean, if the state will demand on the triviality on the external boundaries, not on these two, okay. So why? Because it comes as a consequence also. Consequences for a state, triviality on the internal boundaries of a face and the external disk also. Here we omitted external disk. The external disk are consequences if these three conditions hold. Okay. So this is what a state is. Now let us come to the action. How will we define the action? So we take the tangle T, which we took there, the example, and from that tangle T, we take a standard form of T. So what is a standard form? We take this tangle. We take this tangle and make it look like a box, where the first half of the points is in the top and the second half of the points is in the bottom. Okay, and that we do that for the internal disk also. The first two points in the top and the last two points in the bottom for D2, and D1 had 6 points, first 3 points in the top, first last 3 points in the bottom, and every string will have local maximums and minimums, and we demand that they are in different levels. Okay. So this is a standard form of T. And what is the action now? So we are trying to find the coefficient of S0 vector inside ZT, S1 vector, S2 vector. So S1 vector goes inside D1, S2 vector goes inside D2. Okay. And that is a product of four numbers, PT and so on. Okay, I'll describe one by one. So so product of these four numbers. So PT is the product of scalars arising from local maximums and minimums using the following prescriptions. So local maximum, how many types of local maximum and minimums can be there in the standard form? So local maximums and minimums will have a local maximum can appear as two things, okay, like here, it's shaded in the top or it's unshaded in the top. And local minimum also comes in two ways, shaded in the bottom and unshaded in the bottom. Okay, so you assign these scalars to the local maximums or minimums, and then you take the product of each of these local maximums, each of the scalars coming from the local maximums. So PT is the product of these scalars Okay, now what is cardinality of h raised to the power n plus t and cardinality of k raised to the power n minus t? N plus t is the number of zeroth angles in T with unshaded exterior. So zeroth angles means something which has no connection with the exterior. So like loop is a zeroth angle. Okay? This loop is a zeroth angle. But this is this has unshaded exterior. So this loop will have will be a zero plus angle, and this loop will be a zero minus angle. Okay, and you may, it's not just the loops which comes as zero angles. You can have complicated things like this example. You might have, this is a zero angle. This loop is a zero angle, as well as this complicated tangle is also a zero angle because it has no connection with the exterior, right? So you count the number of zero angles, zero plus angles and zero minus angle, and you take cardinality of the zero plus raised to power zero plus angles, cardinality of k raised to power number of zero minus angles times the cardinality of a number of states on T, such that the state restricted to the internal and the external disk is given by this S0 vector, S1 vector and S2 vector, okay, accordingly. So now if you see this set is either zero or this set is either singleton or empty, because what is a state? State basically assigns group elements to the openings. And if the state, you're putting restriction on all openings. Okay, so on di, it's si vector, and for all I greater than equal to zero. So including external and internal disk. So I mean, the state is like the function is chosen already. Okay, there's no ambiguity in choosing another function. So only thing is whether it satisfies the triviality conditions. If it satisfies the triviality condition, then it's singleton. If it doesn't satisfy, it's zero. Okay. So that is the way the action is defined. And once it defined the action, then the next question will be, why is this action well defined? Because from T we didn't say go to ZT. From T we went to the standard form and then went to ZT, right? So from T to Z, you might have two standard forms of a tangle T. So and that the well definedness is proved by this fact: two standard forms of T can be obtained from one to the other using the following moves: horizontal and vertical sliding of internal boxes, and that doesn't change anything. Wigglings of strings, and what is wigglings of string? So if you have a state string, and then basically you create a local maximum and local minimum which cancels each other. Okay, that is wiggling of string. And rotation of an internal box of 360 degree, what does it mean? So you have this internal box, you can rotate this by 360 degree, and still you get the first point in the upper left corner. Okay. So with these three moves, you can go from one standard form to any other standard form. And under these three moves, the action remains the same. So the action is well defined. This is how we proved the action is well defined. Next comes the hardest part, which is action preserves composition. So for this, basically what are we proving? We are taking a tangle and putting inside and another tangle, and we are putting that a tangle inside another tangle, right? And then we are taking the action. That should be the composition of the maps of the coming from actions of the two tangles, right? So if you think properly, so there will be an outside tangle that you can see it as an annular tangle, okay, and in which you are putting another tangle. So the annular tangle, so what we did was we identified a class of annular tangles which can produce any annular tangle but just by composing them, okay. So these are the five classes, or five types of tangles which we need to produce any annular tangle but just by composing these, okay. So one is the cap on the external disk, one is a cap on the internal disk, this is a double cap on the internal disk surrounding the star, which was not the case here, okay, and then it should have coefficients of internal disk coming here and here in the top and the bottom of the distinguished internal disk. So with these five types of annular tangles, you can produce any annular tangle, and then what we proved is if you take any such annular tangle, and then inside that, if you put any other tangle, that might not be an annular tangle. So action of this annular tangle composed with the action of the other tangle should be the action of the composed tangle. Okay, so that's the hardest part. And once we achieve this, The next obvious theorem comes as, so the, let's call this planar algebra PIRF. The PIRF is a planar algebra, which is totally not clear unless you prove all this composition and stuff, right? So once, so this is a planar algebra, and if you next thing will be, so if you start with the Busserl subfactor with the restriction which we already talked about, the group generated by H and K in automorphism in P acts outerly on P, then the planar algebra corresponding to this Busserl subfactor is indeed the PIRF1. So how do we prove that? And moreover, we also prove that the planar algebra remains the same even if we conjugate the actions of H and K by inner automorphisms. So how do we prove that? That, I mean, although we got motivated, like the way we abstractly define PIRF, we got motivated from the subfactor, but proving that this is the, indeed the planar algebra of this, we need to show something. It's not totally obvious. Okay, so that comes from the fact this, that two planar algebra are isomorphic if and only if there exists an isomorphism in the vector space level which commutes with the actions of the following basic tangles. Okay, one is the multiplication tangle, inclusion tangle, conditional expectation tangle from mn plus 1 to mn. This is conditional expectation tangle on the commutant level from n prime to n prime, and the Jones projection. If the action of these five tangles remains the same, then the planar algebras will be isomorphic. So what we did was we checked these and that the actions are remains the same under these five actions of five tangles. Okay, and also the corollary comes as, and so any planar algebra PIRF, this is basically PIRF corresponds to any group G generated by two of its finite subgroups H and K. There is no subfactor in it. So this abstract planar algebra, whether there is a subfactor, okay, corresponding to this planar algebra having the standardized union described by PIRF, it is indeed the case, because I mean any this in the group generated by H and K can always act on the hyperfinite one, say, and then you get this planar algebra. Okay, and also it is true that in the converse direction, if you start with any subfactor whose planar algebra is described by PIRF corresponding to G generated by H and K, this is not in odd P, okay, this is completely algebraic. PIRF corresponding to G equals generated by H and two of its finite subgroups H and K, then there exists an intermediate subfactor P. So we found out that this projection which corresponds to intermediate subfactors, and we found out the actions of H and K on P. Actually, actions of H, action of K remains up to a conjugacy. So actions of H and K on P, so that the subfactor and subset of P is indeed of the Busserl type. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.